Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Let's hear some more of the good news from James Rapine. He joins us, Indians beat reporter, 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefans.com. Hello, James. How the hell are you?
The Fan.
What's
the
up,
fans.
Guys? I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, I know. I messed it up. Thefans.com.
Guess what? He missed it.
Thank you very much. James, why do I keep hearing about Corey Kluber getting moved to San Diego? Why can't this just die?
Because there's a chance that Corey Kluber is going to get moved to San Diego.
What the hell are we doing?
I think there's a legitimate possibility that whether it's during this season or maybe next offseason, that Corey Kluber, Trevor Bauer get dealt. And the Indians probably view it, especially with the way Shane Bieber has pitched this spring, all right, we have five amazing starting pitchers and maybe zero outfielders that we think are amazing long-term.
Five amazing, amazing starting pitchers? You got a great rotation. Perhaps the best in the American League and maybe even all of baseball here, but five?
I think that they're going to look at that and say, all right, we're not going to keep Trevor Bauer long-term.
True.
Corey Kluber, even though he is under contract for the next three seasons, at some point he's going to hit a wall. It's okay to have Shane Bieber as our fourth instead of our fifth. Now, I get it. Kluber and Bieber, they're light years apart. But, I think they feel really good about their rotation and the depth there. So they're willing to entertain offers. Here's the thing, though, Ken. They haven't made a deal, which means that the asking price for Kluber, the asking price for Bauer, probably pretty high. So that's the one thing I would say is the reason that they haven't pulled the trigger on a deal. I'm sure there's teams all across the league, not just the Padres, offering and calling over the past 5-6 months. The reason a deal hasn't been made is because the Indians' asking price has been too high and too rich for those teams calling.
But, James, that doesn't make me any bit more excited because now you're only telling me that I think a team like San Diego, would they be willing to give me a current outfielder that's very good?
It'd be tough to.
Okay.
It's tough, too, because you're talking about, and I've heard you say it this morning, a really good minor league system in San Diego.
Uh-huh. And they want to do what after they just signed Manny Machado? They want to compete
now.
Exactly. So what am I taking back on this when I have a team that's supposed to win, courtesy of Baseball Prospectus, 94 to 96 games, James? It's like the Chewbacca defense. It doesn't make any sense.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. In this offseason, and that's why I think fans – are where they are with this organization and how frustrated they are. This offseason, I think everyone would have understood retooling, understood bringing in new faces, but it would have been win-now faces. That's what people were expecting, and instead it's younger, it's cheaper, it's controllable for more years, it's long-term and not thinking about the now. And so I totally understand that argument, but the Indians, they're looking beyond 2019. And whether you like it or not, that is the reality that we're dealing with here going into the season.
James Rapine, Indians beat reporter, join us on the hotline. That's obviously not what fans are going to want to hear. I've seen some people say, all right, but you're taking from an area of strength and delivering to an area of weakness. But, man, the Indians, I mean, you just saw even the owner in a recent sit-down. He said, hey, come on, we've got two of the best players offensively in any lineup in the American League. And then, oh, by the way, we've got that rotation, and we've got Corey Kluber at the top of it. Then all of a sudden, you're going to trade the guy right before the season starts?
Yeah. And I don't think they're going to – and Rosenthal said that he doesn't think a deal is going to get done. But I think the Indians are going to continue to listen. I think that the Indians are going to be open to having discussions before the deadline, especially if Bieber, especially if Clevinger, those guys continue to show what they showed last year and obviously this spring. So if that rotation is as strong as it is now on paper at the deadline, there are going to be desperate teams. There are going to be teams that come calling and probably are willing, maybe not even realizing that they're going to contend and are willing to give what the Indians are asking for one of their starting pitchers. So I think it's it's a matter of when they deal one of these guys, not if. It could be during the regular season. It could be after this season. But I don't see this starting rotation intact going into a year from now, going into next year.
And James, it seems like there's been a lot of optimism so far in spring, and this happens everywhere around Major League Baseball. But obviously in Goodyear, where Oscar Mercado, in a trade not a lot of people really talked about or dwelled on last year with St. Louis, is playing really well so far in spring training, and people are saying, hey, this could be somebody who can make an impact as early as this year. Are we getting a little ahead of ourselves, or are you buying it?
I think we're getting ahead of ourselves a bit. It's really tough to base anything on spring numbers because you don't know who's good and who's not, right? Oscar Mercado hitting over 400, that's great. But what does it really mean? How many really, truly major league pitchers is he facing on a day-in, day-out basis? So, yeah, I get it. I think it's good. I think it's great that people are paying attention to one of these young outfielders. But I would pump the brakes a little bit. I'm leery about that. I don't think he's an opening day starter or anything like that. Could he be up here with the Indians at some point this year? Absolutely. But I'm not sure he's the answer. And I think the Carlos Gonzalez signing shows that the Indians certainly looking for in trying to turn over any stone that doesn't involve spending big money in the outfield to see if there's anything left, any other talent out there.
What's the starting outfield look like on an opening day? What do you think?
Leonis Martin in center, Greg Allen in one of the corners, and I think maybe Jake Bowers in the other corner. I think that's certainly a possibility. Carlos Gonzalez, if he was acquired a couple of weeks ago, I would say he would be in the other corner. So I would lean that way, with Cargo potentially relieving Bowers of his duties and sending him back to first base within a week or two.
Did you have any problem whatsoever with the honesty, the candor displayed by the owner of the Cleveland Indians in saying he's losing money every single year? And are you buying it?
I mean, maybe he's losing a little bit of money, but it's one thing to – let's say he lost $10 million over the past 5 years, which I don't believe at all. But let's say that happened. That's $50 million. The Indians are worth 3 to 4 times what he paid for them at $323 million in 2000. So – yeah, you can say that and play that card, but whenever the day comes and the Dolans decide to sell the Indians, they're going to get their money back and then money on top of money on top of money. So it's been a great investment by them. So this idea that we're losing money and we can't spend any of that, I don't buy that. I don't. And I think that's why Indians fans are frustrated, because if you bought a car and 20 years later it was worth 4 times what you paid for it, they said to, you know, spend money on maintenance and stuff, it's still worth it, even though it cost you money last year. And I think that's how I look at it with the Indians in that situation.
Then why do they keep saying it, James? Because they keep saying it, well, we're losing money on this. And I know that there's a difference between the Indians and their ownership and their personal wealth. And maybe they won't go into their personal wealth and things like that. Okay, that's fine. But you can't tell me you're losing money, because over a course of time, I go, well, then I guess you can't even operate the franchise then. So I guess your only recourse is to sell the baseball team.
Yeah, and you wonder what he thought or why he put out what he did. Anytime there's a report, anytime there's an article done, and Castro Vince did a good job with it at MLB.com, why did he do that? Why did Paul Dolan do that? And that's my question.
What, do you think he's maybe setting up a market of some sort?
Maybe that. There's got to be some kind of plan, right? It can't just be, oh, we're poor, we don't have money to spend. Like, that's not going to get fans in butts and seats. That's not going to excite anyone. And he, of all people, knows how fans are probably looking at the 2019 Indians going into the regular season. So there's got to be a plan. There's got to be something, be a method to his madness. There has to be. He's too smart for him to just cry poor after that's been the criticism during his ownership tenure here in Cleveland.
James, I know we've been talking baseball. One other thing, I know you've been watching these Cavs games. You tweeted last night, everybody going crazy about Colin Sexton. And now people shoving it in my face because I had some doubts about Sexton.
Rightfully so.
Who for 4 months out of the season was considered the worst rookie in basketball by almost every advanced metric. So I want to ask you, what have we learned over the last 3 weeks? Because it was a rough go for Sexton for a long time. But now he's put together an incredible grouping of about 7 games.
Yeah, he has. And he has a chance to break Austin Carr's record for most rookies games by a rookie, consecutive games with 23 or more points tomorrow night. So it'll be interesting to see if he can do that. I'll be honest. I was on the other side of the Colin Sexton train. So I always thought that at some point the kid was going to figure it out, and I've given him the benefit of the doubt, and I thought he was put in a really tough situation here in Cleveland with his coach getting fired after six games, Kevin Love going down, et cetera. Obviously, there are holes in his game, but I think we're learning that he's a legitimate NBA player and a legitimate NBA scorer, which it's easy to score on a bad team. It's easy to be productive on a bad team, but I think when the Cavs are good again, Colin Sexton can give them and be a legitimate scorer.
Can he be a legitimate point guard?
I don't know. And people are harping on that, and people are harping on his assist numbers. Part of that, and you know this, it's not like the Cavs have a bunch of shooters. So some of those assists that point guards get on good teams where it's a one pass and a quick three, he doesn't really get those as much. So I don't want to judge it based on the assist numbers. I will say, obviously, he needs to grow as a passer. That's no secret. But this idea that he's not a legitimate NBA player, and I'm sure you've seen the tweets, I've seen the tweets. He is. He's going to be with the Cavs, I think, for a long time, and I think he's proving that he can be a big part of their future.
James, we thank you. You're a glorious man. All the best.
Thanks for having me, guys.
James Rapine, Sports Beat Podcast with the Dangerous One, Darryl Ryder, 92.3thefan.com. Pick it up, Apple iPad. What is it, iTunes? What is it?
Yes.
Apple Podcasts,
yes.
Wherever all you find your podcast, the whole deal, yeah. On the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Coming up next, we update the Would You Rather for the final time. And as a Cavs fan, you can get beer delivered to your seats. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.